Back to Luke, chapter 7, verse 27.
27?
7:27. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. I think we studied the Old Testament prophecies concerning this, but let's look at one of them anyway, Malachi 3, last book of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and them that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So this prophesies his coming, but it's pretty bad news for the human race when he comes. All right.
Talks about the offering of Judah and Jerusalem.
That's the only offering that's acceptable is Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
All right, let's go back to Luke 7. It's just not the same in here without Gary.
It's funny, I thought you were staring me down, but you weren't letting it be.
He was looking longingly at Gary's seat.
I didn't even know I was looking at anything. So.
We should just call him.
Yeah, have him be on a speakerphone.
Yeah.
He shall prepare thy way before thee. Way is a strange word. It's I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the word way is hodos, H-O-D-O-S. And it's not just a way like a path, it's the way with like as the how you conduct your life. And he is the way. So let's look at a bunch of those. Let's first look at Exodus 16. I want to show you something. Verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day. Now, they could only go the maximum distance that they could go in terms of, they couldn't ride or ride horses or anything. It was walking, but the maximum they could go was a Sabbath day's journey, which was 2,000 cubits. We've talked often about the difference. God intends that your Sabbath day's journey be from one end of time and space to the other, so that no matter where you are, you don't leave the place. That's why, remember, it says, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Now, the seventh day, Jesus fulfilled it in that he is the seventh day. He is the Sabbath of rest. This is what all the scriptures are about in Hebrews. Labor to enter into that rest. Let every man rest from his own labors. But the idea is, once you see that the Sabbath day is no longer a day of the week, it's Jesus himself, then you begin to understand what the age of Messiah is. Then you begin to understand why repentance is so completely, total, and necessary. Now, for some, the Sabbath day's journey is across the street. For some, there's a Sabbath day's journey, like one in particular that doesn't happen to be here right now, is like a foot. But let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Now that is, the place is the way. You don't leave the way for any reason. Is that clear?
Yeah. And every day can be...
Every day is the Sabbath. Every day is the Sabbath. The days of the week, the 6 days, and then the seventh was just a picture of Jesus, of the man's effort for the 6 linear days of time. On the seventh day, you rest. At the age of Messiah, you rest. That's all you do. Because you are dead. You die. That's the whole mystery. You've learned not to pay the slightest bit of attention to your desire to go back to sleep after you wake up in the morning. Even if you may have an incentive, like...
Just because of
deer. Ammonia shot up your nose.
Yeah.
There's no temptation that can take you out of the way. There's no little shiny thing in front of you. There's no little nothing. This is the meaning of the way. You understand?
The way is obedience and discipleship.
The way is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he defined a disciple. You are they that continue with him in his test. You have no test of your own. Nothing is going on with you. If you're suffering, you're counted righteous enough to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. There is nothing that is you anymore.
Follow him, and do not follow me.
Well, you don't follow him. He is you. He is the Sabbath. He is the way. He is peace. You're gone. Amen.
I always feel like I'm writing a little paper. You erase something and clarify, and I write, you erase something.
Until there's no more little paper there. It's just the way.
Like battling the one-armed man.
What? Dueling with a one-armed man? Who are you talking about? Are you talking about you saying I'm the one-armed man? All right, let's look at John 14.
John 14.
Mm-hmm. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He isn't going to ever give you life because he is life. He's not going to give you peace because he is peace. He's not going to show you the way because he is the way. He's not going to reveal truth to you because he is the truth. He is. And no man cometh to the Father but by me isn't a moral expression. It's the cosmic fact, because every man has to go through Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross. I mean, every man dies at the same instant. I'm not going to get into that because Gary's not here, and I want to save that for Gary. All right, now we're going to look at a couple of scriptures or a few about how the first century church saw this. Acts verse chapter 9. Is everything.
Versus the darkness.
You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it.
By repenting.
You get rid of light, darkness by light. And he is the light. But he doesn't show you the light because he is the light. And the life and the peace and everything else.
Okay, where are we?
Excuse me. Oh, God. Acts 9. Saul and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Oh. If he found any of this way. Remember, the Christians never called themselves Christians. All right, let's go to Acts 19. Let's just start in verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, What, we not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that you should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the words of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. But they, in verse 9, they spake evil of that way. Remember now at Corinth, the ones that were speaking evil of that way were able to get a law passed against anyone that was a Christian. But they didn't call themselves Christians. That was what their enemies called them. Okay?
But they were people of the way.
They were people of the way, or Nazarenes.
Did the enemies know them as people of the way?
Mm-hmm. But it was the enemies that named the name Christian.
Did they have to leave Corinth then after the law was passed, or did they stay in Corinth?
I don't know. Okay, let's go down to verse 23 of verse of chapter 9. Of chapter 19, I mean. Well, anyway, in verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. In the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. That hodos. You can imagine every person on the face of the earth has only learned self-realization. How you can use God to benefit yourself. And here comes Paul that says, no. So there was just as now, there's no small, what does it say? There was no small stir about that way. If that way were preached, there would be no small stir. There'd be a big stir. All right? Let's go to Acts 24. Okay, this is where Paul is still before these Felix, and I think he's before Felix now. Well, this is important, so we're going to start earlier than I thought we were. In verse 7, the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. He's talking about Paul, commanding his accusers to come unto thee. He's talking, come unto Felix. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that all these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because thou mayest understand. That there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they all call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Now, he was purified because he came back and took the Nazarite vow. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, Touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called and questioned by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, okay? He was persecuted for that way. He was persecuted because he said every jot and tittle of the law and the prophets had been fulfilled in that way. The question is that way fulfilled in you? Amen? Well, that's good enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. What?
You have that right, sir.
Well, thank you for giving me that right. Where's Gary when I need him? Take it, big guy.
We'll get him tomorrow.
You're coveting.
Take it, big guy.